is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. There's a restaurant that should be on your to-do list, and it's called Joy Cafe. It's food made with love and served with joy. And we have Joy and John Bieber in the studio, and my foodie expert, David Danzig, who is going to give us the rundown on why this has become his favorite restaurant very quickly. And they brought in some food, and now it's my favorite food very quickly. And Joy and John, thanks for joining us in the studio. And just give us a little bit of your background.
Okay, so we started the restaurant together. We were in Buckhead for 6 years and have recently moved to Midtown back in March of last year. We are one of those crazy from scratch chef couples. So a lot of the recipes are family recipes handed down through the generations of the women in my family.
We're talking generations and generations.
Generations and generations. I have my Granny D's chicken and dumplings is 100 years old.
Oh my wow. goodness.
And my husband is a crazy scientist. I call him the crazy scientist guy because he loves to research everything. And I bring simple Southern and he brings elevated comfort food.
And now, Joy, you studied Italian cuisine. So you've traveled around the country. So you're bringing Southern cooking and also a little bit of European flair to it.
Yeah, what I learned in Italy was actually just not to mess with good food. What Italy does is take the freshest of ingredients and doesn't do much to them. So what that did for my Southern cuisine was actually just amplified everything. So you just get the freshest of ingredients and then, you know, combine it with that Southern flair. And it's basically grandma cooking from Italy to Atlanta.
So you really did stalk an old lady and learned how to make homemade pasta.
We do a hand-rolled ravioli. It's a spinach and mushroom ravioli with a sage butter sauce.
Oh, delicious. Well, I must say that the meatloaf sandwich that you brought in, I can't wait till this interview is over so I can finish it.
It's kind of like a religious experience. Yeah. So Joy Cafe for me was this, it's one of those, you know, as a food person, it's kind of a crisis of conscience to share it or not. Part of me does not want to share Joy Cafe with WSB and Atlanta Living because I can still get in there, but it is the kind of place that is so good and so unique and so special that I would be remiss if we didn't put it on people's radar. And you guys are such a fascinating, so, you know, when y'all are in the restaurant, like it's not people running it for you. You are back in the kitchen, and Joy, you've got all these homespun, you know, my great-grandmother's biscuits. But then, John, you're telling me how you confit habaneros and make a foam that gives the hollandaise sauce a particular consistency. And it's such a unique blend, like you were saying, of the homespun and the molecular gastronomic cooking. You were telling me about your fried chicken, for instance, John. Like why don't you brine fried chicken like the rest of the fried chicken eating world?
Well, so one of the things I like to do is I look at the best way we could possibly cook things, and I study that, I research it from various levels. One of the things, for example, with the fried chicken is if you cook fried chicken and cook it in the oil, and basically you're overcooking it. What I want to do is...
So you've had my fried chicken.
Yeah. and the reason why you brine the fried or the chicken is because it stops it from getting dried out when you overcook it. So instead of doing that, I'm actually putting it in a water bath at an exact temperature for an exact period of time. And I put the flavorings, there's some buttermilk and there's our hot sauce in there. But if you put it in the water bath for an exact period of time, you're never going to overcook it. And at that point, then we take it out, bread it, and all you're really doing is focusing on crisping up the batter.
So you're doing a sous vide?
Correct, yes.
With chicken?
With chicken. Well, we do sous vide, actually our poached eggs. We do a slow poached egg at 62.5 degrees in the shell for 55 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. But when you eat
this
fried chicken, but when you eat the fried chicken, you'll go, this is the best Southern fried chicken I've ever had. It's not a, pinky in the air. Oh, this was sous vide. I mean, you got all the background science and nerdiness to it, but it just tastes like the
down
best
home
renderings of Southern cuisine. Your biscuits, your grilled cheese, like things like that, and everything that I've talked to y'all about has Joy's, you know, good loving Southern goodness to it. And then John comes along, and as much as Joy will allow, I guess, you come in with your newfangled technologies, and it just makes it better. And it's hard to put your finger on, but you'll know it when you eat it.
Well, and one of the funniest ones is, so I do my grandmother's sour cream pound cake, and it's actually my mother's, good Lord, let me say it's my mother's, because she'll have
it. You'll never hear the end of it.
My mother's sour cream pound cake, and he turned it into sour cream pound cake French toast. So we put a little bit of bitters in the egg wash to make it not quite so sweet, and then fried as you would, or not fried, but
grilled
on the grill, just like you would normally. And then he does a dollop of the lemon curd and a little bittersweet chocolate along the plate. So it kind of counteracts that sweetness. And then, of course, has some berries and some fresh.
And Linda, your eyeballs are like saucers.
I have got to try breakfast. So
yes.
You're a breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Correct. So we started just with lunch.
Do you know what the inside of your home looks like?
You don't want to see the inside of my home. I will say that my mother-in-law lives with us, and she's blind, so I blame it on the housekeeper.
But that's exciting that you guys are adding dinner, and you know, I think you're probably brunch is also just sort of your signature. That's your sweet spot.
Yeah, brunch is sort of how we got known in the city.
Yes. And so, again, this is Joy Cafe. It's in Midtown now. It's
1100 Peachtree Street.
That's right. So it's literally next door to the Ocean Air. It's in the same office complex. And your brunch, among other things, besides your cat head biscuits, your beautiful farm fresh omelets, you have alcohol on the menu for brunch.
Oh, now we're talking.
We do. We actually have multiple flavors of mimosas. I think we're up to 13 flavors of mimosas.
What's the most far out flavor that
you
have?
Well, we do it seasonally. So right now, I love the blood orange mimosa,
yum,
which is just perfect this time of year. We do, what would you say, you talk, because
depending upon depending upon what the season is, we have a really wonderful strawberry and mint mimosa. We have obviously peach Bellini. We have a really fun one that I call Merovingian, which is a take on one of the very first cocktails ever made for King Louis V.
Oh my gosh. You've obviously done your research, John.
I spend a little bit, it annoys Joy how much research that I do.
Google is your friend.
But the interesting thing is, you know, Joy and I were speaking and said, how are customers going to be able to choose? So the one thing that we decided is, well, we would just do flights of mimosas.
So it's a half pour.
So you can
get a flight of three, a flight of six, or a flight of nine. And so think about it, coming with a bunch of girlfriends,
then
everybody can kind of taste it.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most photographed things that we do, other than the avocado toast and the Big Berry Belgian waffle.
Oh my gosh. So what would you say, what dish for breakfast are you most known for?
Shrimp and grits.
Probably the shrimp and grits. We were on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Back when we were in Buckhead, actually, our episode's called Homeland Favorites, and they featured our shrimp and grits and then our biscuit and gravy. And it's was my biscuit and gravy that he... Tell him
he
what you
nerded
tell
up.
Tell him what you did.
Yeah,
well both the biscuit and gravy and the shrimp and grits, Joy likes to say I chefified them a little bit. And basically, I just took her Southern recipes and I just added a little bit of flair. One of the things that I like with, or what to do with some of the science, is I think people do science for food for the wrong reasons. I think they do it just to be an end in itself.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to notice the science behind what I'm doing. I just want you to notice this is just different than I've ever had before. There's something about this that is more unique.
Right.
So, for example, on the biscuit and gravy, he actually, instead of starting with the regular pork sausage that we all grew up with, we do a house-made chorizo for our breakfast burrito, and he actually uses the chorizo as the base.
Oh, my gosh.
So it just gives it a little bit of kick.
Yeah, just amps it up a little bit.
And y'all cure and smoke your own meats, correct?
We try to do everything in-house whenever and wherever possible.
And you have microwaves everywhere, right? And a freezer.
We have an ice cream freezer at this point.
Yeah.
We do not use freezers at all, and we have no microwave.
John just cringed when I said the word microwave. It's like his nemesis.
I was appalled. I took the ServSafe certified manager test, and there were like 6 questions on microwaving, which I failed every one of them because I don't use a microwave.
That is hysterical. Yeah,
no microwaves, nothing frozen.
Nope.
I pretend my grandmother is sitting at the table with me, and if I wouldn't serve it to my grandmother, I will not serve it to my guests.
This is the restaurant that I want to eat at every day.
And you can.
And
you,
we have
I mean,
people that
you
do.
Really can. I mean, I was there today, and I had this magnificent Cobb salad. I can't even conceive of how much work, John, you put into just even the bacon, and you house made the blue cheese, And I was kind of like, did I get charged correctly for this? I mean, the price points are amazing. It's really just a special place. It really belongs in the country in a tumble-down shack. But we're very lucky that it's in the middle of town in Midtown.
Well, folks, I'm so happy that you've taken your culinary talents and brought them to Midtown to share them with all of us. And that's Joy Cafe. That's John and Joy Bieber. And it's at 1100 Peachtree Street, Suite 110. And open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And you do catering as well.
We do, yes.
Corporate catering.
Corporate catering.
No weddings, please.
So call ahead. So,
Bridezilla.
David, thanks again. David Danzig.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank
and
you.
And your website is?
Bitesandsights.net. And follow me. My handle is Bitesandsights.
And he always finds the most delicious places for us to go. And folks, thanks for joining us for this edition of Atlanta Living. We'll be back with you next week. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Check back often for breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts all weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now more of Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
And welcome back, y'all, to Atlanta Living. It is time for Breaking Chews. Now, this is our weekly check-in on all the up-to-the-minute breaking news about local restaurants, chefs, and festivals. I'm here with our favorite foodie correspondent, David Danzig, of the website bitesandsights.net, also a food writer for Atlanta Social Season magazine, and, of course, BelindaSkelton.com. So some breaking chews from the Far East, I see.
Yeah, so there's a new, really hot, fast casual restaurant near Spaghetti Junction, and they're cooking up some incredible Laotian cuisine.
Mm.
It's called the Snack Box Bistro.
Okay.
And just to brush everybody up on their geography, Laos is a Southeast Asian country that borders Vietnam and Thailand and Cambodia. The Lao cuisine, you can say Laotian, you can call it Laos, you call it Lao, is very similar to Thai, but it's very flavorful, and there are some differences. So the Snack Box serves up this Lao street food. It's the sort of dishes you'd buy on the street in a city from a stall or, you know, a mobile cart.
Yeah.
A signature Laotian dish is sticky rice, and it's an extremely dense and rich rice. It comes in a bag. You actually eat it with your fingers. It doesn't stick to your fingers, but you can eat it like a snack, and you can dip it in some of their sauces. They have a sweet roasted pepper sauce. They have a chili lime fish sauce. It's absolutely delicious. Other dishes I tried were the chicken lob, which is written L-A-R-B, but it's pronounced lob. It's an incredibly, I'd also tried a flavorful, fragrant red curry pork noodle soup.
Yeah.
They also do a dish called the Nam Khao, which is a pork dish. It's served on a crispy coconut rice. It's just one of the most incredible Asian dishes I've ever had. It's very crunchy and savory. It's bursting with flavors. I mean, this is a menu you just want to get in and explore. They have a shrimp ceviche. They do lemongrass ribs. They have a sticky rice omelet cake. you know, the owner, Von Sengaphone, he's very clever, very well executed menu. And probably the best thing about the snack box is it's very user-friendly for Westerners. It's simple, it's clean, it's modern, the menu's in English, and no dish tops $10, and they're big portions. So this is a steal. I would say it's an excellent way to ease into the, you know, the ethnic Buford Highway type scene, even though technically it's not on Buford Highway. It's over near Spaghetti Junction. So check out the Snack Box Bistro.
Great find.
Yes.
And where can we find you during the week?
My handle is Bites Insights, B-I-T-E-S, the letter N, S-I-T-E-S. Check me out on social media.
We'll look for you next week. And you're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, one of America's most beloved comedians, Vicki Lawrence, is in the studio with me, and I'm so privileged to be speaking with her today. And she's here to talk about one of something that's close and dear to her heart, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, I want to congratulate you on your successful career. And we just had the 50th anniversary of the Carol Burnett Show, and that was amazing. And you had how many years with the Carol Burnett Show?
Oh, my gosh. I was there all 11.
All 11.
Yeah.
And all the clips that they ran were just hilarious. And they would say that so many of the clips that y'all would do a rehearsal and it would go one way. And then when you did it for the show, it would go a completely different way.
We did two shows, both in front of a live audience. So, yeah. And the first show, basically, if everything went smoothly, they would turn Tim loose and tell him he could do whatever he wanted. On the second show.
And so when you turned him loose, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, yes it is.
So a lot was impromptu.
On his part, definitely. On ours, just try to keep yourself together.
And I loved it when you would start to lose it and when you start to laugh and you're trying to hold yourself back from laughing, that's when it gets hysterical. Okay, and then Mama's Family, which, how many years were you on the air with Mama's Family?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think it was probably about six, but it really took us the bulk of the 80s to do it because we were on NBC for a season and a half, and then we got canceled, and then we all sat around for about a year, and then we went into first-run syndication, so probably about 6 years total.
And it was hysterical. How long did it take you to get into your Mama's Family?
I didn't do anything. Honestly, Belinda, I didn't do anything. Because, I mean, she started on the Burnett Show, and we didn't have time to do anything.
Yeah.
Because we did that like a live show. And I remember after we'd done several on the Burnett Show, my husband was the makeup man on the Carol Burnett Show. And it was Al who said, really, we need to take the eyelashes off. And I was taking the lipstick off. He said, we got to do the eyelashes, take the rouge down a little bit. Uh-huh. Let's just do that. Because in the early Mama and Eunice sketches, I had these beautiful eyes, these showgirl eyes going on behind the glasses. It was pretty funny.
I don't remember that. I just remember.
Well, when you see an early one now, you'll know because you'll go, oh, look at her eye makeup. How funny.
Because
Carol and I used to do all the eyelashes, two sets of uppers and a set of lowers. And
you'd get your sets of uppers.
Yes, and you'd get your showbiz glamorous makeup on, and that was it. And that's the way we'd go for the show. But then when Mama came along, it was like really, we just, you know.
But then when
Mama's Family came along, there was this big discussion about, do we now do like an old age, like an Estelle Getty thing on Vicki and really make her look old? And it was Al who said, why would you change that face that everybody loves? Why would you bother?
That's awesome.
Everybody went, yeah, that's a good point. So I really did nothing. I had the easiest gig on that show. I had Bob Mackie's beautiful costume.
Okay.
And there you have it.
Bob Mackie did the same costumes for...
A fellow named Rhett Turner did Mama's Family.
Okay.
And but Bob designed the original costume, yeah.
Okay, and the pearls.
Mm-hmm.
Love the pearls on Mama's Family.
Yeah.
Well, what a great show. Well, you are traveling the country to speak about something that's near and dear to your heart that... that started afflicting you about 4 years ago. And I can't
How
pronounce
dare you
it.
Afflict me?
Afflict you. I am afflicting you. I didn't afflict you. It afflicted you. I can say chronic.
Yes.
That's about as far as I can take you.
That's it?
That's about it.
You can do that second word.
Well, let me find it in my, let's see, where is it? But I can't find it in my notes here, but chronic, but the last word is way beyond me.
Okay. Well, it's chronic idiopathic urticaria.
Idiopathic, I can handle.
Yeah.
Okay, the third word.
You could do that. Urticaria.
Urticaria.
Which is a fancy doctor word for hives.
Hives.
Mm-hmm.
Common everyday hives.
Yes. But
does it
for
feel
a million
very
and
common?
A half of us, it's chronic and it's idiopathic. Chronic meaning it's lasted for more than 6 weeks. I've talked to people that have been looking for answers for years. Idiopathic means the doctor can't tell you why. There's no trigger for those of us who have this condition. So there's nothing we've done wrong. We didn't eat a bad shrimp. We didn't change our detergent. It has nothing to do with anything we're doing.
And that's
it's
what you
just
first
random
thought.
And it comes and goes as it pleases.
Because when you first...
Well, I think when you break out in hives, that's immediately what you think is that you've done, you're allergic to something.
You started cutting back on everything that you thought was causing the hives.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to jump in some freezing water. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted
Were they
to just
very
freeze them.
Itchy?
Yeah. Yeah, it itches.
And that drives
just
you crazy.
About them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And you
my weapon of choice was my wire hairbrush.
Ah.
Yeah, I'm very itchy. And I would take really cold showers because I was pretty sure it was the heat that was exacerbating it. And after a couple of days, my husband said, sweetie, allergist?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I went to our allergist and he said, we'll get it under control because everybody has a bout of hives at some point in their life. No worries.
Right. Because generally you think stress or you've changed your
Yeah, you think your
soap.
Mother-in-law's nervous breakdown, right?
Exactly.
Or you're marrying my son? Oh, my God. And she breaks out in hives. Yeah.
Or you've changed your soap or you've eaten some shrimp or, you know, red wine or something.
Yeah.
But no, this is going to be a chronic thing that you're going to have.
Well, my allergist said, we'll get it under control. No worries. And we tried everything you can think of for 6 weeks. Everything. And nothing worked. At which point he diagnosed me with chronic idiopathic urticaria. And I honestly thought he had made it up. I had never heard such a mouthful in my life.
Right.
And of course, jumped on the web, as we all do, looking for who the heck else has this. There were no answers. There were people asking a lot of questions, but there were no good answers. So I was fortunate that I had an allergist who was familiar with the condition. We were able to get my hives under control. And I haven't seen a hive in quite a few years now. But that's not to say that they could not come back, because for me, it is chronic and it's idiopathic.
So you said 1.5 million people
men and women in this country
suffer
have
from
CIU. And a lot of them are looking for answers and haven't been able to find them. And consequently, when I had a chance to join forces on this educational program, CIU and you, I said, yes, I will be the face of hives. get that word out there that you're not alone, that you're not, you know, the only one that's going through this craziness.
Because a lot of times when you're going to the doctor and you have something and they can't find the cause of it, you actually think you're going crazy.
Yeah. Yes. And I've had a chance because of this program to speak to a lot of people that that have CIU. And, you know, people are stopping the things they love, the horseback riding, the going to the beach, going to the gym. One lady moved out of her house. She was sure it was something in the house. I talked to a woman who had this huge binder of all of the trips and the times at the doctor and pictures and all that stuff. And she said, I wish I had had this resource when I was going through my diagnosis. So I'm hoping that it's just a great educational outreach program for people that are looking for answers and haven't been able to find them.
Well,
there's my whole story's on there, so you can see if that rings a bell. And there's downloadable materials, so it'll encourage you to track the hives and take pictures.
Now, where can they find this information?
It's the website is CIUandYou.com.
Okay.
It's supported by the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America.
Mm-hmm.
It's made possible by Genentech and Novartis. So it's a real smart chock full of good information for people that are looking.
Now, is this a
there a medicine that you have to take daily to keep this?
There are treatment options, and the trick is find the allergist in your hood that's familiar with CIU, and together you can put together a treatment plan that will keep you under control.
Okay. Now, were you trying, at the time that this, 4 years ago that this came on, were you trying to work during this time that, that you were had this outbreak of hives?
Was it? No, at the time I was walking the dogs. Hanging out, having a nice life.
Well, that could be stressful if you were fighting hives and trying to be on a television show or trying to tape something.
That's true.
That would be tough.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not fun.
No.
Very, I think really frustrating for people looking for answers. And I think really the hardest part is to not blame yourself.
Okay.
But the thing is to get to that allergist, because it's going to be 6 weeks before you get a diagnosis of CIU. So it's one of those things where you really need to be proactive. If you think this is you, start taking pictures.
Okay.
And start keeping a diary. And that's all downloadable on our website. And then when you get to the right allergist, because you know how the health system is now, you might not see the right guy for 6 weeks.
Right.
And if you've got this whole diary and all these pictures, you can hopefully get to that diagnosis sooner than later.
Okay, so CIU.
NU.com.
Okay.
You don't even have to worry about learning chronic idiopathic urticaria.
Thank goodness.
I'm CIU. Hopeful that I'll get the acronym out there, you know.
CIU.
And people will say, oh, I heard Vicki and Belinda talking about this. I think this might be you. And that happens all the time, everywhere we're going.
That's great.
I got to go call my mom. I think this is her.
Yes.
You know, it happens all the time.
Well, if we can alleviate someone's pain, then
or they're itching.
Or they're itching. That is great.
If you're scratching and you don't know why.
And it can make you mad.
I'm here to help.
Anything that's making you scratch can make you crazy.
Yes.
The
And you know, it's hives, so it's not something that people really talk about much.
No, it could be kind of embarrassing.
It's
unattractive.
And people would say, oh, for God's sake, just put some lotion on and get over here.
Right. Just put some cortisone on it and come on.
And of course, everybody in your life wants to tell you what's wrong. You've got to get on a holistic diet. You've got to do an elimination diet. One of my friends said, stop drinking red wine. It's the tannins. And I said, the red wine's the only thing that's getting me through this whole mess.
Seriously,
so
don't take
you
away,
go away
my life support.
Yeah. No, it's... Don't listen to your friends. Just take pictures. Get on the website. Get to that right allergist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great advice. So what are you up to these days? We've got about a minute left. Where can we...
Oh.
What is Vicki doing these days?
Well, I'm on the road a lot with my show, Vicki Lawrence and Mama, a two-woman show. And other than that, we just finished that special, and I just did a pilot that I'm knockwood very hopeful about. And so I'm just trying to keep busy. Keeping busy.
And what is that pilot so we can be on the lookout for it?
Oh, well, I don't think you will see it unless we get picked up.
Okay.
It was
okay.
Called Cool Kids. It was really a fun pilot. So if you see anything about Cool Kids.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. All right, Vicki, it's been a pleasure to be with you, and I'm thankful that you've gotten the word out about this.
I am too. Thanks for your help.
Word that we can give some people some help out there.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Check back often for breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather and traffic red alerts all weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now more of Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Hey, welcome back, y'all, to Atlanta Living. It is time for Breaking Chews. Now, this is our weekly check-in on all the up-to-the-minute breaking news about local restaurants, chefs, and festivals. I'm here with our favorite foodie correspondent, David Danzig, of the website bitesandsights.net, also a food writer for Atlanta Social Season magazine, and, of course, belindaskelton.com. So, the guys behind one of the coolest entertainment concepts are back at it again.
Yeah, that's right. So a few years ago in Buckhead, over on Miami Circle, Justin Amick and William Stallworth opened the Painted Pin.
Love it.
It's a hipster bowling bar where you could, you know, roll a few frames, eat some gourmet food, and, you know, sip on some craft cocktails. And quickly this became line around the block kind of success. So now they're back at it. They've got a sequel, and it's just, you know, it's oozing with wow factor. So it's called The Painted Duck.
Okay.
It's over on the Midtown West Side in the Stockyards Atlanta Woo! Development It's on Brady Avenue. It's right across from Miller Union. It actually shares a building with this new Italian restaurant called Donetto. So outside, there's just a neon sign. It's a bowling pin that's got a little beak and wings. It's, you know, it's like a duck and a bowling pin combination. And that's the only way you know that you're there. And you kind of go down this speakeasy, it's like a graffiti mural hallway. And then you descend into the basement. You turn the corner, and then your jaw just drops. The inside of this place feels like a high-design bowling alley from a Stanley Kubrick film.
Oh, cool.
It's this mix of industrial minimalism. It's kind of a hunting lodge swagger, and there's an upscale ballroom feel to it.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, the games are the real showstoppers. They do 16 lanes of duck pin bowling. It's a different type of bowling.
Maybe I'll do better.
It's actually a little more challenging, but it's fun. The balls are smaller. They've got Belgian feather bowling. It's a totally different vintage game, but it's so addictive. They've got horseshoe pits. They have this thing called knuckleball. They have another antique game called Toad in the Hole, deck shuffleboard.
I love shuffleboard.
And they have something called snookball. It's a hybrid of soccer and billiards. You stand up on a felt table and you kick balls, soccer balls that are actually pool balls, like, so you kick the cue ball and you hit the eight ball with it. So it's great. Of course, you have to have refreshments when you're playing. Yeah. So they have a very creative, eclectic menu. It feels kind of like bowling alley fare, but it's, you know, it's revved up and chefed up. They have duck confit nuggets. Their French fries are rendered in duck fat. They have these amazing pulled pork sandwiches on Hawaiian rolls. They'll even make you a whole Peking duck if you're really hungry. And of course they have a very extensive beverage program. Their signature drink is called the Frosted Duck L'Orange. It's an homage to the Varsity's Frosted Orange.
That's awesome.
So absolutely spectacular new place, Painted Duck. It opens 5 o'clock on weekdays, and then on Saturday, Sunday it opens at 11 and noon, and you can bring your family up until 5, and after 5 o'clock it's 21 and over. So check that out. I've got a whole write-up at belindaskelton.com.
And where can we find you during the week?
My website is bitesandsights.net, and my handle is at bitesandsights.
I can't wait to see what you dig up for us next week. You're listening to Atlanta Living, only on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB.